Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, celebrating over 10 years on the air. Good morning, everybody. The 1st of October, 7:05 in the morning, and the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, and courage. There at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and of course, we are streaming over KCNR1460.com. You can't escape us anywhere where there's a signal for your phone or your computer. We are there. So good morning, and good morning to Jared.
Good morning.
I wait till I see Jared moving away from the telephone, or the microphone, and he's reaching over to do something.
Well, I was trying to turn off the fan.
Yeah, then I introduce him. See, I have to wait, though. You know, most of the time I can't catch him. But every so often it gives me a chance, and I have to then hurry something in there. So good morning, big guy.
Good morning.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
You told me that you did something that's so rare last night. Forgot to plug in your phone.
Yeah. And luckily it survived long enough for my alarm to go off.
Would you survive? You would survive without that phone, right?
Yeah. I'd have to buy an alarm clock.
How much would your life change without that phone? Besides the fact I call you and I bother you during the day to do things.
Well, luckily I can remember back to when I didn't have a cell phone.
And yeah.
Not everyone did.
You know what? We didn't. And somehow we managed to survive. But what about those kids 15 and under?
Yeah, they wouldn't. I have no idea.
If you took away their cell phones, I just said, nope. Gosh, yeah. I mean millennials.
Well, I'm
college,
technically a millennial.
Yeah, but I mean college kids, that 25 and under range, I'm not saying this is wrong because, I mean, I'm with my phone all the time, too. I forgot my phone. Uh-oh. What's going to happen? Well, you know what? And all the times I've forgotten my phone and all the times I've been in places you can't have phones, you know what? Life goes on.
It does.
Yeah. I need to get a hold of you right away. You find out when you call somebody. You need to get a hold of me right away. Yeah, but I can't remember what that was. So, anyway. So, what's the weather look like?
Well, it's pretty warm right now. It says it's 79 degrees. It's obviously smoky. Today we have a high of 103, a low of 64. Tomorrow we have a high of 100, a low of 64. On Saturday, high of 100, a low of 61. And Sunday says it's sunny, but I imagine it's probably still going to be smoky with a high of 90 and a low of 57.
Well, it's, I thought, well, 73 does seem a little warm, but I'm bringing
it says 79.
Up. You're saying 79. Well, the one I brought up says 73, but that's still warm for this time.
I got another one that says 76.
Yeah, and going up to 104 today. Okay, what about fires? What do we got on fires?
Well,
I think Sue had an update.
The Zog fire, they just came out with an update a few minutes ago.
Okay.
It didn't go up too much again. It's at 55,000 acres. Containment's now at 26%, although we do have one more fatality, bringing the total to 4. There's still 1,538 structures threatened, 147 destroyed. We have 133 engines, 52 water tenders, 13 helicopters, 31 hand crews, 37 dozers, total personnel, 1,337.
Okay, now that, when we first started keeping track here, it was 700, then went up to 997. We were told that they needed another 1,000 to control this, but now we have, what, 1,300 there?
1,337.
So it's like 600 more, which is closer to that 1,000 that was going to be asked for. And then the dozers and say anything? Did you mention the air war against it?
Yeah, it said we have 13 helicopters. It doesn't mention any planes.
Okay. Well, still 13 helicopters dipping 1,300 gallons of water at a time.
It does say that we have air tankers. It just doesn't mention how many.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's good news. 26% contained, up from that's 21% more than yesterday.
Yeah. Well, so, it was actually 7% yesterday.
Okay, 19%.
But that's still pretty good.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Our guys and girls out there doing a great job. And people are, people's stress levels started dropping. I've noticed that Linda has not been telling me, move the paintings into this one area. She hasn't told me that. So I figured the first night her stress level was up there, you know. So as most people, and as you're, you know what, if you think, you know, we're in the middle of downtown. So the chances of it getting here are slim. Not none, of course, in fires, as we've learned, is because it burned into Redding. But the where it was and all this, the way the wind was blowing, I thought we'd have at least a day. even if it turned, we'd have a day coming, unless it went into tornado winds and all this. But gosh, you know what a great job our fire crews are doing.
And, I agree.
Tomorrow, Bill Mastin's going to come back in. And as you know, Bill gave us, gave us a super background on fighting fires, how it's done, the way they're set up. It's like a military operation, of course. And people were talking about, where are the Marines? Well, it turns out the Marines, a battalion of Marines from Camp Pendleton are out there fighting the fires down in Southern California. So, as are Army and National Guard. So, you know, they're calling in everybody for this thing. Okay. Several things are happening this morning. We're going to have Steve from the Iron Soldier Ride of Veterans, you know, to raise money for veterans organizations. We'll be here at 7:30. And then Jack Potter, head of Ready Rancheria, will join us at 8 o'clock. But some things that are happening. I've got to mention the debate. The debate is now in the spin world. It's in the spin world now. Whose fault it was that it turned into a debacle. It wasn't a total debacle. I need to go back because everybody, President Trump and Vice President Biden managed to unite the country in that one debate. Whether you're a liberal Democrat or a conservative Republican, everybody thought, oh, guys, come on. You can do better than this. Now, this is what we have here. It was like, as one person wrote to me and said, I watched it for 11 minutes and had to turn it off. It was like schoolyard kids battling each other. We were not well served. Our country, I do not believe, is well served by that debate. It was just not. So now the debate committee is coming up with more structure for the next debate. And maybe it will be, as we use in the, in the radio land, and is that we can turn people off. You know, when they're talking and you get to a certain point, you just turn them down. Or they're talking over somebody. Well, let somebody, you just turn them down. Don't turn them off. You just turn them down so they can listen. Well, I've heard that might happen, that both of them will have a kill switch, that when they start to interrupt like that. To me, you have a six-minute question. 2 minutes to President Trump, 2 minutes to Vice President Biden. Then they each get a minute to reply to the other one. So, I don't see a problem with that. If you want to make it 8 minutes, so they have more time. And then you could have a free-for-all question where they can both talk at the same time. But that's a free-for-all question. That's the way I think I'd do it. Now, the moderator, Chris Wallace, I felt did a good job up to a point. But when he started laughing along with Biden about Trump, you know what? That went too far, Chris. It was not an easy job he had. I don't think he had any idea this was going to happen. He had his questions. He was talking to the President of the United States and the former Vice President of the United States. But the debate, the first debate, I think he had no idea it was going to go like that. And so now you're seeing the spin that Chris Wallace was on the side of Joe Biden. And they forget some of the questions that he asked Vice President Biden. However, I think Wallace he didn't do his job when he asked Vice President Biden, are you going to stack the court and are you going to support the doing away with the filibuster in the Senate? And when Joe Biden refused to answer it, and he went back and he said, but are you going to do away with the filibuster and stack the Supreme Court. Maybe at that point, Chris Wallace should have said, I'm not leaving until you answer this question. And then at the same time, you could have done that for President Trump in any means. And then things that were said seem to, when you read the transcripts, things that were said seem to have been just glossed over. And like President Trump refused to say to condemn white supremacy. He did. He said it. I heard it during the debate. Then you can go back and read it. But people are fixating on, I would tell them to stay, you know, to stand by. In whatever, you know, to stand down. So there were things that are said in that, unless you go back and read what was said on certain things, you're not going to get it, because the media of both sides have been just spinning things like it's. I feel like I'm in the middle of an Ed Sullivan show, and for your younger people, that used to be like a variety show, and they had this guy that all he did was he had these plates spinning. I don't know if it's probably before your time, Jared, but he would put like 12 plates up, all of them spinning at the same time. And this is kind of like I feel like our media is. They've got so many things spinning, they're not sure what's up and what they're spinning. And that's why you've got to watch these debates, and you've got to hear it for your own, you know, if hear it for yourself. As uncomfortable as it was, frankly, I would hope that both Trump and Biden step up to the microphones and say, you know, we were a little aggressive last time and probably shouldn't have been as aggressive as we were as far as not letting the other person speak. You know, I apologize to the American people for that, and it's not going to happen again. What do you think? Would that go far?
I don't think they'd ever do that, but...
No, I don't think they would either. No, no, they don't, because they don't do those things. They don't. Okay, they just take a quick break. You know, anyway, anytime, anywhere, the way you escape your everyday stress, bad debates, dogfire, COVID, is by getting a good night's sleep. And with today, and with today's, all the stress I was just talking about, having a well-rested mind, a well-rested body is going to help handle stress. It's going to help handle sickness. It's going to help handle the everyday craziness that is surrounding us lately. And Sleep Number is the bed I recommend. Linda and I have been sleeping on Sleep Number for over 6 years. I can't say enough about it. I can't say enough about being able to adjust the firmness on my side of the bed while Linda sleeps on the Sleep Number setting of 45, which is what she sleeps the best in. My Sleep Number setting is 55, which I sleep the best in. You know, it's not just for adults. It's also for children. Imagine your child, which needs lots of sleep, getting a good night's sleep. And people sleep for an average an hour longer on a Sleep Number bed than they do on other beds. Proven quality sleep is life-changing. Save up to $700 on a select new Sleep Number 360 smart bed with temperature balancing benefits, so you both sleep just right. Only at Sleep Number stores or at sleepnumber.com. Now, you need to go over to the Sleep Number store and see what I'm talking about the microclimate they have there in the bed, so that it's temperature balancing, so that you can sleep cooler at night or warmer. It's up to you. It's Sleep Number, and only at Sleep Number in the Target Shopping Center. Head on down there, tell them Carl and Linda sent you, and try out their beds. All right, we'll be right back. 7:18 in the morning, 73 degrees, and we come back. We got people on the line. Nope, today. We do have people on the line, and some things I want to talk about diversity, a diversity law just signed by Governor Newsom that enforces certain groups of people to do certain things. We'll be right back.
Career politicians in Sacramento are holding fancy fundraisers with rich donors and are too busy to pay attention to us. We deserve housing we can afford, quality education, health care, and jobs that support our families. I'm Pamela Swartz, and I'm running for state senate. I grew up in Reading. I'm your neighbor, not a politician. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, and I'll work for jobs and investment in our district, and not for big money donors.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz, State Senate, ID number 142-3306.
They're at it again. Yet another attempt to add more government bureaucracy to healthcare. This time it's Proposition 23. 23 is funded by one labor union that's pushing their own political agenda. In doing so, this labor union is risking the lives of 80,000 dialysis patients. 23 is dangerous for patients, and 23 is costly for taxpayers. 23's bureaucratic requirements would increase healthcare costs by hundreds of millions of dollars every year. 23 will mean higher insurance premiums and higher taxes for everyone. That's Prop 23, the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition. Join the California Medical Association and the American Nurses Association California in voting no on 23.
As paid for by No on 23, stop the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition. A coalition of dialysis providers, nurses, doctors, and patients. Committee major funding from DaVita and Fresenius Medical Care.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Hey, Linda, show's over. Let's hop in the truck and head over to Country Kitchen for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Country Kitchen is open for that in-dining experience for breakfast and lunch 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. And Country Kitchen has their own in-house bakery, everything home-cooked with the freshest ingredients. Can I hear yum?
You can hear cinnamon rolls. Country Kitchen, locally owned for 27 years, located on Hilltop Drive in the Hillcrest Shopping Center.
Let's go!
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, Carl DeBar. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center is among the highest rated hospitals by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, received 4 out of 5 stars in heart attack care, emergency care, preventative care, surgical complications, or lack thereof is what it means, heart failure, stroke, and hip knee replacement. Yeah. 4 out of 5 stars from the Center of Medicare and Medicaid Services. They're doing something right over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. For a complete list of all ratings and categories, you can visit medicare.gov/hospital compare. I think I'd do it if I was going into a place. So, Shasta Regional Medical Center. Let's go to the phones. Nick, this is no plug for your show.
Oh, yeah, but they can go ahead and listen to it Sunday morning at 8.
Okay, all right.
Hey, listen, I got you on that one, Carl.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, I sent a YouTube video to productions. I'd appreciate it if you'd have Jared put it on the chat room. The fact is there was a lot of cheating going on that debate. But I'd like to say this about the debate. That's the best one I've ever seen. They need to step back and let them argue back and forth. And,
You can't hear them. But you know what? I think they should. But I think that, hey, here's what I say. This is what I say. But speaking over each other all the time, you can't hear anything. It's like, you know, you've heard it on the radio shows before. It doesn't work.
Well, it worked pretty good on the debate. You know, we finally got to see him take off the gloves. And he just put that on, I believe. And everybody needs to watch this video. Joe Biden had an earplug in. He had some kind of a thing down his sleeve, and it shows him have a wire come out of the edge of his jacket momentarily. And, you know, this guy is, in my opinion, an evil person. And you mentioned that you think that both sides are maybe cheating or, you know, fabricating. I don't see the Republicans fabricating anything. And, you know, it seems to me that sometimes you're a little biased towards the liberals. That's what I've noticed.
Really?
Lately.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Really? No, what I'm biased for is fairness. That's what I'm biased for. I am really on the side of fairness. And if something is said that is untrue from one side, I try to say that, or the other side. I'm trying to, you know, and I even hate to use this, but a balanced approach to things, because that's what serves our country the best. Not far left, not far right, but a balanced approach. And if you want to hear one complete different side, then you listen to the next show at 8 o'clock on Sunday mornings. Thanks,
that's
Nick.
That's right. That's
see ya.
Absolutely
see
right.
Ya. Okay, and this is see that you hear him no longer. That's what should happen when at debates. See how easy it is? Now, I'm still talking. Thanks for the phone call, Nick. I haven't seen this, so I want you to do is pull that down, and then let me, until we see it, and then we can put it back up again. Yeah, the evil cheating exposed. Yeah, just pull that until we look at it, because, you know, it could. I haven't seen it yet. Nothing's going up here that I don't see. Enough on the debates. Let's go really quickly. The California will force these companies. Well, first of all, Newsom signed a law that says the diversity legislation, which tells corporates, publicly traded corporations here in California, they will tell them how many people they have to have on their boards of not only sexual minorities, but racial minorities. So it's like the 2018 measure that required boardrooms to have at least one female director by 2019. Now, if you take a look at that one, if you take a look at the types of companies that had to do that, a list of them are some of the largest companies either. It says that they're going to need to hire. Some don't have to hire additional women at all. They have a percentage of women. However, about 25% of the California's 445 publicly traded companies don't have a single woman on their board. So here are some of the ones that are going to have to hire women. Skechers, Apple, Alphabet Incorporated, the parent company of Google. They're going to have to hire other women to its 11-member board by the end of 2021. Now with the racial quotas, and that's what it is, they're going to have to, you know, hire more people. Now, do they either expand their board or they let people loose? Facebook, and as of this year, in order to meet the new law, they're going to have to hire one more female board director by the end of 2021. When you think about it, those are pretty large companies here in California. But what it does is it takes away the right of the corporation to put the best person in for the job. Are there women that are competent? I'm sure there are. But it's forcing corporations to hire certain minority groups or those of sexual identity. The newest one is of sexual identity. So now it's not just either women and people of color. It's in the LGBTQT community. And will it go on further and say, well, you know what? Yeah, you've hired racial minorities, you've hired women, and you've hired a gay guy or a gay woman, but you haven't hired enough transgenders. So each company, you're going to have one transgender on your board. Well, if they can force these other things, they can force this. And again, corporations that are there, that's, you know, to be in business, to make money for their stockholders, to make the right decisions, perhaps they can do this. But to be forced to do it, I'm not, you know, I think it goes against the point of achieving things by what you've done and what you've accomplished. And some people will scream and say, well, you know, we haven't had a chance because I'm a transgender female. does that count as part of, does that count as the woman part coming onto the board, or is it, do they have to be a transgender part person coming on the board? Can you get like three with one? What if it was a person of color, male, who changed their identity to a female? But I guess you can't get both. It's got to be one or the other. All right. Got to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Get your morning update with us.
Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
Medicare open enrollment is October 15th through December 7th. Help keep your drug costs low by reviewing your plan for the following year. Remember, Medicare plans can change each year. PSA 2 Health Insurance Counseling Advocacy Program HICAP services are free and include individual counseling and assistance as well as community education services. PSA 2 HICAP services does not sell, endorse, or recommend any specific insurance product. PSA 2 HICAP is your trusted source for Medicare information. Call PSA 2 HICAP services for more information. 530-223-09 or 1-800-434-0222. That's 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222.
This project was supported in part by grant number 90SAPG00940100 from the U.S. Administration for Community Living, Department of Health and Human Services, Washington, D.C. 20201. Grantees undertaking projects under government sponsorship are encouraged to express freely their findings and conclusions. Points of view or opinions do not, therefore, necessarily represent official Administration for Community Living policy.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Carl with the Bot. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. And if you have not checked your insurance policies, why is it like every other year everybody starts checking their insurance policies? Because there's fires all around us. Does your insurance policy handle fire? that we had heard from yesterday from somebody who thought they had fire insurance through a company, and it turns out they didn't. They had homeowners insurance, but not fire insurance. And I'm not sure how it was divided out. I think there was a user mistake more than a company mistake. But if you have any questions about insurance, including signing up under the new health care plans, give Judy Maxwell a call at 221-0441. She's been doing this since 1993, and she is truly an expert on anything that has to do with insurance or financial responsibilities. 221-0441 or stop by 1378 Hilltop Drive. Nick, I didn't hang up on you. I turned you down. See, I was showing the example of when people are talking over each other and that you can turn them down. So, anyway, moving on. I see my 730 guest riding up on his motorcycle right now. But some things that are happening, again, in the California legislature, if you're interested in your rights under the Second Amendment that the state of California is working really hard to take away from you, lead ammunition. Assembly Bill 37-1 would have shooting ranges would prohibit the sale or use of lead ammunition at any kind of both indoor and outdoor shooting ranges. It would also prevent a hunter from practicing with the ammunition that he or she will be using on a hunting trip out of state. This is in an assembly committee. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Current law provides any person who has been convicted of certain misdemeanors may not, within 10 years of the conviction, own, purchase, receive, possess, or have under their custody or any control any firearm. Certain misdemeanors. This is in the Senate committee. And then, of course, making it unlawful to use a dog for the purpose of hunting deer, including recovery one that has been voted. That's in the Senate committee too. The ones for vehicle storage is just, look up AB 3058, and it's being pushed by Assemblyman Chu, that to lock your handgun in a locked container that's permanently affixed to the vehicle. I'm not sure how you do that. Permanently affixed. A lot of people will have have gun safes, gun lockers that you attach to parts of your car that can't be, you know, just taken out, and they affix them with these very high tensile strength cables. But you could say that's not permanently affixed. So what are you supposed to weld one to the inside of your car? I'm not sure, but this is just another way of making you a lawbreaker as you travel with your firearms that are safely locked up. I'm not sure. I'm not sure why this is continuing the way it does. Our next subject for today is going to be something called the Iron Soldier Ride, and we're getting our guest in right now. And Steve's coming in. He rode in on his motorcycle, and I was watching him park out here. I'm glad you're here, buddy.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Great to see you. What a beautiful morning to ride.
Yeah. Well, it is. How's the smoke?
The smoke wasn't too bad this morning. The sunrise was beautiful, bright orange glow over there, but the ride was good, nice and cool.
You know, yesterday during the show, we were getting reports that, you know, we had a wreck right here at the corner of, this is Shasta Street, or is this Dana? Right here, that's Shasta.
Shasta Street,
Shasta and Market right here. There was a wreck between a California Highway Patrol vehicle and somebody that ran, apparently ran the stoplight, according to the report I saw. So that blocked up traffic, and if that wasn't bad enough, a 18-wheeler down on Pine and Shasta Street turned over. They had to stop. They started diverting people off at 44 down there at the Turtle Bay Bridge. I don't know if you saw that yesterday.
I did.
Oh no, but it was.
They happened one after another.
One after another. At first, it was the wreck right here at the intersection, and then the other one was minutes afterwards. Probably, I don't know if. How do you turn an 18? Well,
I think they were taking that turn when you get off 44 down into the downtown where it turns. They
must
have taken that too fast.
Okay, is that what happened?
Well, I'm not exactly sure, but I know that's where it happened.
No, we don't know, but it sure blocked up everything down there. But Steve's here today to talk about the Iron Soldier Ride. Did I get that right?
Yes, sir. It's our seventh annual Iron Soldier Ride.
Yeah.
And we're excited. It's going to be a great year for us. We have had tremendous turnout from our sponsors this year, which is what really makes the fundraiser part of it work for our veterans. So this is actually our eighth year, but we had to postpone it 1 year because of fires. Because of the car fire, there was so much going on, we elected not to have our ride. Normally, we have two rides a year, and this year we have postponed our store ride just because of the situation with COVID and trying to protect our employees and other people. But the veterans really, really need this ride to happen. They need the funds because of the fundraising challenges we've had. And so we've elected to move forward with this and set it up in a way that everyone will be protected and can be protected and still enjoy the ride and raise money for our veterans.
Okay. Let's take an early break here. And because I want to get into the ride itself, how it started, what happens during the ride and all that. So this portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. It's Northern California's premier retirement community. Think about that. Surrounded by the beauty and ample recreational opportunities we have up here, of course. But when you add in a gourmet chef, you add in activities, you add in transportation around town if you want to use it. This isn't an assisted living facility. This is for active seniors that have said, I'm not going to go around and search for toilet paper anymore. It's just here. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to do for dinner or what I'm going to do for breakfast or anything else. It's taken care of. I can just enjoy life. I can go out and visit the kids. I can go travel. And River Commons Senior Living is pet friendly. So I can bring my pets with me. Learn more from Brian over at River Commons Senior Living. Give him a call at 238-5981. Worry less, smile more. River Commons. We'll be right back with Iron Soldier Benefit Ride.
Turtle Bay's fall plant sale is coming up on Saturday, October 3rd. Members and non-members will enjoy discounts on regular nursery prices. Don't miss this chance to save big on plants during this key season for planting perennials. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Vote safe, vote early. In Shasta County, all active registered voters will receive a ballot in the mail. Voters in Shasta County have multiple safe ways to cast a ballot by Election Day on November 3rd. How to return your ballot is your choice. Starting October 5th, you can vote early in person, by mail, or by Dropbox. Remember, it is your vote, your choice. For more information, call the Elections Department at 225-5730 or go to ShastaVotes.org for safe voting options.
Are you tired of corporate-bought Sacramento politicians who don't have any idea what we need in the North State? So am I. That's why I'm running to be our state senator. My name is Pamela Swartz, and I'm your neighbor, not a politician. We've got wildfires burning down our towns and internet connections that don't exist or barely work, and we're stuck with self-serving career politicians. This has to stop. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, for state senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for state senate. ID number 142-3306.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
The Second Amendment matters. Hello, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for Supervisor District 4. Recently, the California Rifle and Pistol Association delivered a resolution of support for the Second Amendment to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. And as of today, not a single board member has moved this resolution forward. The right of the people to keep and bear arms is as important today as it was ratified in 1791. I am Patrick Henry Jones, and I'd be honored to earn your vote this November. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 4.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Turtle Bay has two new exhibits opening on Saturday, September 26th. Expedition Earth and Bench Press, Please Be Seated, Please. From interactive exploration around our world to awe-inspiring craftsmanship, these two exhibits have something to keep the whole family entertained. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM. Carl and Linda Bach, good morning, everybody. The 1st of October, yeah, we lost September. 746, 73 degrees, going to be going up to 104 today, smoke in the air. Find out what the AQI is for me, Jared. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Redding, the only full-service jewelry store in Redding, where Linda hangs out when she has extra time in her hands. They have an extensive array of jewelry, ranging from estate jewelry to Native American to ones they design and build themselves right there at Four Winds Jewelry. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. I'm here with Steve McCarley from the
Redding Yamaha Sea-Doo.
Thank you. I had Yamaha here, and I knew it was more to it than that. And Steve and his cohort is putting on the 7th annual Iron Soldier Benefit Ride. Now, how did this start?
My father was a World War II veteran, served in the Marine Corps on the USS Pensacola, a Navy ship. He was a Marine. And my brother-in-law, Buzz, served in the Vietnam War, and we just wanted to help our local veterans out, and we thought, what a great way to do it. By what we have is a motorcycle store, so let's do a street ride. And so we put together a street ride, and what we tried to find was, where should we give the money that we can raise? Mm-hmm. And after looking at several different places, we came across Rob Burrows and the group called Homeward Bound Military Support Services. And the reason we chose them is because all of their people are volunteers. No one's paid there.
There's no money that goes for overhead there.
No overhead. So if you give a dollar, a veteran gets a dollar. And that's been really, really awesome for us. We just feel good about using them as a facility
It's a great organization. Rob's been doing a lot. Of course, it comes under the banner of Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, but he has his Homeward Bound. They send packages out. Yep. They help people in that transition coming back. That's one time they paid electricity for a veteran that was having problems a couple years ago.
We're going to have a couple testimonials from people that have been helped through our ride this year at the event this Sunday morning.
Okay. It's going to be this Sunday.
This Sunday.
It's not too late to sign up.
No.
Do you have to have a motorcycle?
Technically, you don't.
Yeah, technically, I mean, riding lawnmower? I can't keep up. But if I had if somebody wanted to say, hey, I want to do this, but I don't have a motorcycle.
You could drive to the park.
Drive to the park. There you go.
And if you want to just come to the store in the morning and honor the veterans with us, you could do that. And you don't even have to go on the ride if you want to make a small donation. Chad Bushnell will be there early singing for us, and he's donating all his time to come and entertain.
Now, this is going to be October 4th. The check-in begins at 9 a.m. And can you kind of give me an idea of the roads you're going to be on?
Yeah, we're going to leave from our store, head up Oasis Road out to Old Oregon Trail, Old 44 to Boyle Road. We try to stay off the main roads as much as we can, but we'll come back in on Phillips Road. Yesterday we pre-rode it. It was just beautiful and cool up in the mountains and riding through the trees of Phillips Road and come out at Buzzard's Roost onto 299 and then head on up to Bernie there. We'll stop and take a break. And, Bernie, get a beverage and fuel if you need it. And then we'll ride on up 299 up to 89 and over to the Hat Creek Rancheria.
Okay. So is that where it's going to end?
End up, yeah.
At the Hat Creek Rancheria. And how long a ride is it?
It's about an hour and a half after we stop for a beverage.
Okay.
Comfortable ride.
Okay, that's not too bad. Now, can I bring my Yamaha ATV and ride along with you?
In the back of your truck? Yeah,
oh,
of course.
Oh, you're not going to let me ride on the roads there, huh?
No,
I've got it souped up.
But all bikes
I can hit 103 on a straightaway.
All bikes are welcome.
All bikes are welcome. It doesn't have to be a Yamaha.
No.
It doesn't have to be a Harley. All bikes.
All bikes welcome. We just want to honor the veterans that day. So if you've got a motorcycle, come out and join us.
There you go. And I'm kidding about this, about these things. It only does 102. Well, this is a great event. Now, you can't do this without sponsors.
Absolutely. If you would bear with me, I just want to mention some of our sponsors. At a $250 level, we have Everyday Fitness, GTI Solar, Lucky Miller's Deli, Pratt Financial Services, Relevant Real Estate, Craig Spafford Insurance, Sunset Coy, and Noni and Lauren Pratt are all $250 donations. $500 donors are AM Vets, Cornerstone Bank, Healed Auto Body, Hokama's Appliance, Lithia Toyota, Meyer Crane, Mid-Pacific Engineering, O'Neill Logging, Outback Contractors, Perry's Automotive, PJ Helicopters, Redding Auto Detail, Redding Distributing, Redding Subaru, Rickards Electrical Service, Stemple Weeblehouse & Associates, My Umbrella Marketing, and Michelle. And then $1,500 sponsors. These are...
I think the list is getting shorter as we go up.
It's getting
right?
a little shorter, okay. But these guys have been solid and consistent for us. Heitman Drilling. Tom has been great donating the last few years for us. Kirby's Law, $1,500. Lithia Chevrolet, $1,500. Premier Oil Change, Matt and his crew. He's a veteran. He donates every year.
I'll tell you what, he advertises for us, as do several others here. And, yeah, Matt's a great person.
He has been very supportive. Redding Rancheria. Stepped up $1,500 this year. And Tri-Counties Bank, $1,500. They've been very consistent with us every year. We do have one company that stepped up as a title sponsor this year. We've never had that before, and it made a huge difference for us. We have $3,000 donated from Golden Valley Bank this year.
Eric Wittstrom heads up Golden Valley Bank, and he supports. He supports veterans' causes, as does Golden Valley Bank. Cornerstone Bank rolling in there too. So, so you've got so you have the money that they donate really just goes on to the Homeward Bound.
Homeward Bound,
and then plus the ride, it costs $30. No,
$35 pre sign up and $40 the day of the event. I also got to mention
how much just for the shirt, since I can't be there.
Oh, probably $15.
Okay,
yeah, you can get a shirt. Now, that I want to mention two other people. Richard and Debbie Ash at Logo USA, we've bought the shirts from them in the past. They said, hey, we're going to donate them this year. So they donated 100 shirts for us.
Wow.
That we don't have to pay for.
That's great.
And your neighbor here at Maxwell's, Cameron.
Oh, yeah.
Cameron, they can't do the cooking up at the rancheria like they normally do because of the situation. So Cameron said, hey, that's no big deal. I'll just haul up there and I'll barbecue and cook for everybody up there and no charge. So he got
Maxwell's. You know, I tell you, this not to be mixed up with Maxwell's Insurance. This is Maxwell's down, two doors down from us. Great people there that own the post office and Little Max.
Yep.
So these are super, super people there too. And they have Half Price Burger Tuesdays.
Oh, that's a good deal.
Oh, it is a great deal. So. Anyway, you can tell when it's Tuesday because you can't find a parking spot anywhere around here, as it should be. You know, well, Steve, but this is not easy to put on. You've got to get insurance. You've got to get all those other things. And plus you have to have the will and the, it's not even the will. You've got to have the love to be able to do something like this. It's not easy.
We have a great team. Our employees jump behind this thing 100%, and everyone pitches in to help out. And it's just really a win-win for us. We feel really good. It's like giving somebody a Christmas present that you know they really, really wanted.
Yeah.
It makes you feel better probably than they do. So.
And you get to deliver it.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's kind of like you go on a great ride. People have a good, you know, a super time, you know, it's for a good cause. I don't know how many of these I've ridden in. And just, you just enjoy it because you know when you're going to go on. But, you know, usually you bring a few of your friends. But if you're just riding by yourself, you're going to make new friends.
Yeah, yeah. And nobody deserves it more than the guys that have fought to keep our freedom, to keep us free. And so we really appreciate the ability to ride for them. And to just do a small little part to help out our veterans, we appreciate them.
Okay, Steve, tell us about your business here. I've got you on here.
Ridding Yamaha.
Yeah. How long you been around?
Business has been there 23 years, and we owned it for 22 years. I actually started it for another gentleman, and were able to purchase it after 9 months.
Uh-huh.
So Paula and I have had it for 22 years. It's been quite a interesting roller coaster. The first 10 years was great, amazing. And then 2008, 9, 10 made it a little more challenging. And
boy, did it. Because when you get into that, people, you know, then your priorities become, you know, harder when the money goes away.
Yeah.
It goes into food and it goes into mortgages and stuff. And maybe not into a Sea-Doo or a motorcycle or an ATV.
Yeah. And
you persevered.
The boat side of it has really grown a lot for us with the Ranger boats and the pontoon boats and things. So that's an area we're focusing on, too, is the boating side as well as the motorcycle.
I understand that's been a good side of businesses this year.
It is. Surprised us because we thought we were going to be in another huge downturn. And what happened was people were staying home and vacationing at home and using the great Northern California that we have, the lakes, the rivers, the outdoors. And so it got really busy for us, too, with the boating.
Well, Linda and I went on an ATV ride the other day up past Tennant. Just had a great time. And, I mean, it's if you've been riding a motorcycle, I mean, it's similar. So, however, you're a lot more stable. You can see a lot of the different country you couldn't get into with cars or trucks or Jeeps. Maybe not Jeeps, but cars and trucks if you're going up. And that's a lot of fun. And the Ranger boats are world famous.
Yeah, so, number one.
Yeah, how about the pontoon boats? I thought if I ever did retire, maybe getting a pontoon. Do they have, like, bathrooms on them?
Yeah.
You can get in the bathroom.
Yeah,
and we're not talking about the huge ones, but I'm talking about one, like, you can pull behind your truck.
Yeah, a little 20 to 24-foot boat.
Yeah.
We're kind of at that phase of life as well where we really enjoy the relaxation and the stability and the deck space with the family-oriented pontoon boat.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
And they've got them now where you can putt along and go fish and do whatever you want to do, or if you want to water ski and tube behind them, they've got triple tunes with 250 horsepower motors that fly faster than some of the ski boats. So,
well, see, and I can understand how somebody with a family would like to do that. To me, that's just 250 horsepower. It's wasted. I mean, it's just wasted because I want to, you know, get around from one side of the lake to the other, and if I want to fish, that's fine. Or if I just want to hang out there and read and listen to music, I could see that happening in the future, maybe in another 20 years. When I slow down.
That's one nice thing about the pontoons for Shasta Lake is because we don't have a lot of beach area. You can find a million coves that you could choose your own and just kind of have your own little place on a pontoon.
In fact, the girls are going out there this weekend to do that. They're Holiday Harbor is they're getting a boat out of Holiday Harbor, and the girls have their girls' weekend there, and they anchor it into the same spot every year, and they just have a great time.
Oh, that's fun.
So, yeah, it is. But, hey, thanks again. Steve McCarley, he and his wife owned the Yamaha Redding Yamaha Sea-Doo store, and it's located where?
1936 Twin View Boulevard, just north of town on I-5.
There you go, and you can see boats out there, and and like we said, the boating industry caught a lot of people by surprise. A lot of people were buying boats this year.
Yeah.
They should. We have two beautiful lakes here.
If you have a chance and can ride this weekend, it's a great cause. Pre-sign up. You can call the store, 275-7300, to sign up over the phone. I'd love to have you swing by the store as well in person if you want to sign up that way. And check-in starts at 9 o'clock this Sunday. And enjoy some great music. And
it goes to all the proceeds go to the Homeward Bound portion of the Northern California Veterans Museum, where they help our veterans on the return. They send packages to deployed military. All of it goes, 100% goes there. There's no overhead. So thanks again, Steve.
Thank you.
Hey, when we come back, I believe Jack Potter from the Redding Rancheria is going to join us.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Wall Street is on the rise again with hopes that Washington can get past its partisanship and deliver more support for the economy. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin says that President Trump is anxious for the administration and Congress to come to terms on a new COVID-19 relief bill.
The president would like to do a deal that's a fair deal and something that can help the American public right now.
Mnuchin on Lou Dobbs tonight on the Fox Business Network, and there are signs that the two sides could be closing in on a deal.
An olive branch of sorts was held out by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi last night as she delayed a vote on the Democrats' $2.2 trillion virus relief measure. Pelosi postponed the vote until today after a 90-minute meeting with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin on Capitol Hill. The first face-to-face meeting between the two in over a month didn't produce any breakthrough, but both sides emerged sounding like there was room for negotiation. In a statement, Pelosi said, "We found areas where we are seeking further clarification." Mnuchin said, "We made a lot of progress over the last few days." Mike Gracia, Washington.
In this week's debate, President Trump says he held Democratic challenger Joe Biden accountable.
First 47 years of lies, 47 years of betrayal, and 47 years of failure. I held Joe accountable for shipping your jobs and dreams abroad.
Biden claims that Mr. Trump kept the seriousness of the coronavirus under wraps early on.
Because he's more worried about the stock market collapsing than about the over 205,000 people who have died.
Biden in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. The president spoke during a campaign stop in Duluth, Minnesota. And on Wall Street this hour, stocks in positive territory right now. The Dow is up about 70 points. The S&P, 10 points higher. The NASDAQ Composite Index up 92. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm United States Surgeon General Jerome Adams, America's doctor. And all across our nation, we've taken steps together to slow the spread of coronavirus. Now we must continue to take personal responsibility to protect ourselves and our loved ones. Because even though not all of us risk a severe case of coronavirus, we all risk getting it and spreading it to others, maybe without even realizing that we're sick. So if we want to get back to school, back to work, back to worship, and back to overall health, there are things our country needs to do. We need to follow state and local guidelines, take extra precautions if at higher risk, wash our hands frequently, stay 6 feet from others when we can, and when we can't stay 6 feet from others, please, I'm begging you, wear a face covering. These small actions will make a big difference. So I'm asking you to say it with me, America. Coronavirus stops with me. You can learn more at coronavirus.gov.
Produced by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services at taxpayer expense.
EU leaders will meet in Brussels for talks on possible sanctions against Belarus for the chaotic aftermath of its August 9th election.
There is widespread appetite for sanctions against Alexander Lukashenko's regime, but there's a problem too. One of the smallest member states, Cyprus, wants more to be done about its dispute with Turkey over gas drilling in the waters of the eastern Mediterranean. It's holding up agreement on Belarus until it's promised more support. That, in turn, is difficult because the EU relies on the Turkish government to help hold back immigration into Europe from the Middle East. The Turkey dinner, at which leaders will seek to strike balances, threatens to be a lengthy one.
The BBC's Kevin Connolly. Unemployment rose for a fifth straight month in Europe in August amid concern that government support programs will not be able to keep any businesses hit by the coronavirus afloat forever. News and analysis at townhall.com. Senator Rick Scott of Florida argues for moving the 2020 Olympics from China.
Senator Scott says China's record on human rights is abysmal.
The Communist Party of China is committing a genocide against the Uyghur people.
Just one reason, he says, is that it should pass a resolution calling on the IOC to strip the Games from China until Beijing improves its record.
Moving the Olympic Games out of communist China doesn't hurt athletes. It keeps them safe from Communist China's aggression.
Scott's effort blocked by New Jersey Democrat Bob Menendez, who says the issue needs further review in the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations. Bob Agner reporting.
The number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits declined last week, falling to a still high 837,000, evidence that the U.S. economy is struggling to sustain a tentative recovery that started over the summer. Once again on Wall Street this hour, the Dow is up 97 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, celebrating over 10 years on the air. Phone lines here, 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Today, the 1st of October, 2020. We're getting closer and closer to ending this year. 805 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. And I'm here with Jared at the helm. Jared, the weather and then the latest on the Zog fire.
All right. It, 77 degrees right now downtown. It's hazy, smoky. I imagine it's going to be for a while. Today we have a high of 103, a low of 64. On Friday we have a high of 100, a low of 64. Saturday 100, low of 61. And on Sunday, high of 90 and a low of 57. And as for the Zog fire, as soon as I find my tab. All right, we're at 26% containment. It's 55,303 acres. We did have one more fatality, which is unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
We have 1,538 structures threatened, 147 destroyed, and 10 damaged. We have 133 engines, 52 water tenders, 13 helicopters, 31 hand crews, 37 dozers, air tankers, and a total personnel of 1,337.
Okay, you know, on Tuesday, we had Bill Mastin in here, who is a retired fire captain and also teaches out at the Shasta College Fire Academy. He was giving us a real good background on fighting fires, about the Zog fire here, and request. We all have access to all the reports, but he knows where to look for it, and they'd requested 1,000 more people as of Tuesday. And it looks like we've gotten 600 and something, plus all the equipment that goes along with these people. 26% containment is great, considering where we were. And they stopped it from jumping Clear Creek. And that was one of the priorities, because if it had jumped Clear Creek, it would have gotten up into some horrible terrain. And, something I learned Tuesday was fire burns a lot faster going up a hill. I don't know why I didn't know that. It seems to me I should have. But maybe it's because we as people, you don't go up the hill as fast as, but the fire does, because it pushes that heat out in front of it and kind of like sucks it along. And then when it goes down on the other side, somehow it slows down. That's why they put their fire lines right there at the crest, to try, you know, instead of alongside, you know, alongside the hill. Anyway, Bill will be back tomorrow morning at 7:15 to kind of give us an update of what's going on. Now, I'm here with Jack Potter.
Good morning, everybody. Hope you guys are all doing wonderful out here in Shasta County in the wonderful city of Redding.
Well, the chairman of Redding Rancheria. And you know what? One of the things is it's an elected position. It used to be an appointed position from the board. Or I'm not sure how that went, but it's an elected position now.
Yeah, right? So elections are actually happening next Saturday. No, this Saturday. We have elections coming up this Saturday. And I'm running again. And usually once you got elected to tribal council, then the tribal council would select amongst themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But about 4 years ago, we went out to the membership and we're allowing the membership to vote for their chair and vice chair.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Letting the people speak.
Yeah. So it's a wonderful thing. I always feel validated when I get reelected as a
chairman.
Well,
I remember the first time. When it happened, you were, it was something new. And it kind of validates, like you said, it kind of validates what you've been doing.
Yeah.
On this. Been a tough year, buddy.
It has. And, you know, listening to you guys talk about the fire and stuff, I just wish those federal agencies, like, you know, BLM, Forest Service and stuff would refer back to the tribal people. We have ecological knowledge of how we manicured the forest in traditional times. I was just looking at a picture the other day. It showed a section of the forest in 1900. There was about 70 to 90 trees per acre. Now that same section has over 500 trees, and people wonder why the forest burn up so quickly. The fires are intense. The heat is intense. In traditional times, every year, at the end of fall, right before winter, we set the world on fire.
On purpose.
On purpose.
To burn out all that brush.
That would burn out the underbrush. It would heat up, you know, the pine cones and stuff to allow seedlings to drop. And then the women would go along and gather those little sprouts and stuff in the springtime to use as basketry material and stuff. And it was good. You had an abundance of deer, rabbit, all the game, because they came for all that new growth.
Mm-hmm.
And the fire was a slow burning because it only had about a foot.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that part up, because it was a continuous fire, but it was a it's still a fire, but it was a slow burning, would take out all the underbrush and everything, mm-hmm. and it would not destroy the trees.
Yeah, and by the time it hit the trees, it would go past it. It never harmed the bark or anything, because yeah. there's natural repellent within that. But if the fire's intense, just like now they're saying they've never seen redwoods burn. It's because it's staying there. What's around is so thick and dense. Yeah. And also, that underbrush right now, when it snows up in the high mountains, it catches the snow like a catcher's mitt.
Uh-huh.
And then the sun comes up in the morning, it melts that snow, as to where in traditional times it would hit the ground and compacted. The ground would have stayed cold. Therefore, you have longer wet season, because as it melted up in the high areas, the water would trickle down, and you wouldn't have drought in the summer and stuff, because the high mountains held a lot more snow impact.
I think too, when you look at also all this extra brush and all these extra trees sucks up a tremendous amount of water,
mm-hmm.
and we already have water problems out here already.
Yeah.
But if you think about this, that how many gallons a year a single tree takes, and when you've got, instead of 70 trees in an acre, you've got 170, just another 100 trees there. That's another 100 trees sucking up water out of our aquifers.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe even part of the water problems that we have would be helped if we actually had a manageable, a real forest management plan here. And, maybe it needs, the state of California, I think, it's burned 13,000 acres, which is nothing. Absolutely nothing. We should be built. I think we should be doing controlled burn. Burn that million acre in California. Plus the fact of pulling all of this underbrush out, starting cogen plants everywhere.
Yeah.
So we can use this. It's a renewable asset. I mean, it's going to take us decades to clean out these forests.
Yeah. The other day I was talking to some tribal members. I was like, I would like to put a proposal into the Forest Service to. Looking at California, in traditional times there was over 500 tribes. Now there's 112 federally recognized tribes, about 70 tribes seeking federal recognition. But, handing over 100 acres to each of the tribes to have a sample, forest program, let those tribes, work that 100 acres, restore it back to the traditional times, and watch how an abundance of deer come back, wildlife, how the growth, everything, and see if what the tribes are saying is true. We never had wildfires in traditional times. We didn't even have a word for it, and we weren't concerned.
Wouldn't that be something? Because you're talking about 115, how many tribes?
112 tribes.
112 tribes. So you give out 100 acres to each tribe, which would be, it's just a drop in, not even a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
And then y'all would clear it out, mm-hmm. and just keep that 100 acres the way it used to be.
Yeah.
And then have this as an example. Unfortunately, your 100 acres, once it burns slowly, you would then get into BLM and California land and watch it just go crazy. But, of course, there would be ways to handle that.
Yeah.
You look at privately owned forest, and they try to keep it clean.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, let's just face it, it's the government. It's government land
that
is the majority of the problem.
up until the 1920s, even the sheep herders, you know, they watched the Native Americans, and they would set the world on fire after they would bring the sheep up in the mountains to graze and stuff. But then Smokey the Bear happened, said, fire is bad.
Fire is bad.
And that's when it started.
Yeah, it turned. You remember, and we got to take a break, you remember, you're not that old, but that a 10,000-acre fire was horrendous. You'd hear something about like a 10,000-acre fire, and it was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now, a 10,000-acre fire, you don't even look at anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We've got million-acre fires here. In our area, it's going to go over 1 million acres.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. We're here with Jack Potter, chairman of the Redding Rancheria, and we're talking about native husbandry of the land. And where there were 70 trees to an acre, where now we have 500 trees and brush and everything to an acre, and why, and every year the Native Americans would start fires. So it would burn out a slow a fire that would burn out all that brush. It is beneficial for having the pine cones and other parts of trees dropping their seedlets, but they didn't have forest fires like this.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank is community-oriented. They are dedicated. They are locally run. They have a local board of directors. They know what's happening in Redding, and they help people. And just as an example, the Iron Soldier Ride, Cornerstone Community Bank is one of the sponsors for that, to help our veterans. Cornerstone Community Bank, through all of this, is still moving local dreams forward. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com or stop by 192 Hartnell Avenue in the Old Rayleigh Shopping Center, 1845 California Street in the heart of downtown Redding, or our friends over in Red Bluff, 500 Riverside Way. Cornerstone Community Bank. We'll be right back with Jack Potter.
Last night, free flight. Zero out, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much, I miss my wife. It's lonely out of space on such a timeless flight.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7-9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
When I see our current representatives taking money from special interests, I'm not shocked. When they get nothing done for us, I'm not surprised, because they're taking care of their donors. I'm Pamela Swartz, and I'm running for California State Senate. I grew up in Redding. I'm a small business owner living right here in the North State. I don't take money from corporations. I'm running to represent us, not big money. On November 3rd, vote for me, Pamela Swartz, for State Senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for State Senate. ID number 142-306.
They're at it again. Yet another attempt to add more government bureaucracy to healthcare. This time, it's Proposition 23. 23 is funded by one labor union that's pushing their own political agenda. In doing so, this labor union is risking the lives of 80,000 dialysis patients. 23 is dangerous for patients, and 23 is costly for taxpayers. 23's bureaucratic requirements would increase healthcare costs by hundreds of millions of dollars every year. 23 will mean higher insurance premiums and higher taxes for everyone. That's Prop 23, the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition. Join the California Medical Association and the American Nurses Association California in voting no on 23.
At Paid For By No on 23, stop the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition. A coalition of dialysis providers, nurses, doctors, and patients. Committee major funding from DaVita and Fresenius Medical Care.
Paid for by Adam McElveen for Redding City Council 2020.
Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year, and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. It is the 1st of October, another month starting closer to ending 2020. Okay, I have a few rules in my life that I never break. I've added one. On January 1st, 2021, my rule is I will never mention 2020 again. I would like everybody to join in with me on that. You don't have to. I can't force you into it. But on December 31st, I think we should all raise our favorite libation, whether it's a milkshake or a shot of Jack or whatever, and we take a shot and say, sayonara to 2020, and we start 2021. Hopefully with not a fire around
us. I hear you on that.
Am I right here, Jack? Am I
very, very right.
I'm not preaching to the choir. You know, I think that we've had enough of 2020.
That's everything. And, you know, all the psychics and everything said 2020 was the year to remember. We are all going to remember this every day of lockup, every day of the children at home, every day not eating at your favorite restaurant, going to the movies. And then the fires, and, you know, I wonder about those people, if they were on lockdown and the fires happened, where would they go? What would they do?
Yeah, well, and then the national election occurring, which,
yes,
that doesn't help the situation as far as stress is, especially this election. And then Justice Ginsburg passes away.
It was a great loss.
Great loss. She was a, you know what, I may not have agreed with all of her decisions, but what a tremendous woman this woman was. What a tremendous intellect. And the fact that she and Antoine Scalia, who was polar opposite of her, and they would cancel out each other's decisions there, were great friends. They were able, they'd go to the opera together. They'd spend New Year's Eve together. And that,
yeah,
that's such a learning. That should be such a goal for all of us, that we're able to, you know, to maybe disagree, but still have coffee. And,
that is correct.
And break bread with each other. I just it saddens me, mm-hmm, in so many ways to see that that's going away in so many areas. But let's go back to Jack Potter, who's the chairman of the Reading Rancheria. Reading Rancheria, in case people are, you know, they know about Reading Rancheria, but they're not. Who composes the Reading Rancheria?
So the history of, like, how rancherias even came about.
Yeah.
It starts at contact. So usually what happens is treaty negotiators go out into the Indian country and negotiate treaties with the tribes and stuff. They negotiated a treaty within this territory, within Wintu country, Treaty H. And that was between Wintu and Yana people. There was supposed to be a 25-mile square set aside for use of those people. But Gold was discovered in 1849, and so then California became a state. Usually the statehood happens after all the treaties are negotiated and ratified. And so the politicians at that time went back to Washington, D.C., lobbied Congress, said don't ratify those treaties. There was 17 treaties, 18 treaties negotiated with all California tribes, you know, multiple tribes in some areas and stuff. And they said, don't give that land to the Indians. It's valuable land. You haven't seen California. There may be gold on there. The fields are vast and wide for farming, this and that. So they said, we passed an act, the Act of the Protection of the Indian, which the Indian people call the Genocide Act, because in there it said you can murder the parents and make a statement and get ownership of the children. So it's, you know, it was indentured slavery. While Abraham Lincoln freed the African American slaves in California, the Native people were being enslaved. And that's where they paid $5 bounties for the heads of the Indians. So instead of mining for gold, getting in the streams, you could go out, decapitate a Native American and get a guaranteed $5 gold piece. And if you didn't have their head, you could take their hair in and get $1.50. And that's when the Chinese people quit growing their hair long, because when they couldn't find a Native American, the miners would just cut the braid off the Chinaman and take that hair in, because it was black and in a braid, and there was no way of knowing if it was Chinese hair or Native American hair.
You didn't want to be a person of color back during that time frame who had dark hair.
Correct.
You might say.
And so in 1906, someone was cleaning the basement and seen this trunk that had a secrecy seal on it. The next day, it took an act of Congress to open that up. When they opened it up, there was these 18 unratified treaties, and the government at that time, 50-some years later, said, I didn't know the Indians out in California didn't have land, so they created the Rancheria Act and went out, sent out BIA agents to purchase land in areas where there were still Indians that were settled, and whatever land was available. And so some, I know down in Miwok country, there's a rancheria that's an acre.
An acre.
That's all the land that was left that wasn't owned by nobody or anything, no one claimed. And so they purchased that and set it aside for Indian use. And so like Redding Rancheria is 30.89 acres. And the Indians at that time would come and go, and they followed the fields, and they settled there, mostly Wintu people that, you know, had Yana or Pitt River also.
Mm-hmm.
So the traditional tribes of Shasta County were Wintu, Pitt River people, Hat Creek people, Yana people, and Aquanichu people. The Aquanichu are extinct. There may be a few bloodlines, like in the upper Wintu people and stuff, or some of the bands of Pitt River. And so in 1959, the government came through, terminated those rancherias, and everyone that was living on there at that time received a deed to their parcel. And part of that termination, the federal government said, we would provide adequate means of water. So back then, how the rancheria got their water, they all had hoses that either went into Clear Creek or into the Acid Canal, and they had a tank in the back, and they would siphon water and carry their water in. So that agreement to terminate the tribe, they said, we would provide adequate water source. Well, that was an adequate water source. At the time, people had flushing toilets in 1959. They had water indoors. And so in 1983, there was a class action lawsuit, and that termination was overturned. So the rancheria got their federal recognition back. And so our membership consists of every one of those people that received a deed to their parcel at that time.
Okay. So the people that got parcel, they had the deeds to the land. Now then this became the rancheria.
My understanding, the membership.
Right? The membership. Okay.
Yeah.
1959.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the difference between a rancheria and a reservation, is there a difference? I mean, reservations were set aside, some, you know, hundreds of thousands, yeah, if not a million acres of...
Reservations were usually set aside by an act of Congress,
okay,
or due to the treaties and stuff.
Right.
And so where those were never ratified in California.
Okay. And there's the difference, why the Navajo Reservation is huge. However, the Navajo Reservation is having the same problems. They don't have water. They don't have electricity. They don't have the medical facilities that were promised by the government.
Correct.
And then you get up into the Cheyenne and Sioux, Wounded Knee, and Pine Ridge
yeah.
agencies. The highest, you know, the highest rates of suicide for teenagers are on the reservations. I mean, we can just go on and on and on about that. But the Rancheria, maybe because it's smaller, more organized, better leadership, does not have that level of problems.
Correct. But problems exist, you know, within, you know, our country because where the federal government did not ratify those treaties and then, mm-hmm. you know, terminated the Rancheria and then reinstated it. Well, it still left a group of Indians without federal recognition, and that was the Wintu people. You know, had that treaty been ratified, the entire Wintu people would have been federally recognized instead of just, you know, the ones that happened to be living on the land.
They just happened to be on the land, so the rest of the Wintu tribe
would have no federal recognition. And then, like, the Pitt River people, they got federal recognition after the Rancheria in 1987, but, you know, they were forceful. They occupied their territory and had occupations and everything and, you know, gained recognition through that process. And
okay,
you know,
so they said, this is our property and we want to be recognized.
Yes,
okay, that was in 1983.
In 1987, but the Pitt Rivers had been fighting from, you know, the early 60s, you know, mm-hmm. going through that process. And the Wintu tribe has been on the federal, on the petitioning for federal recognition probably for 40-some years.
What?
Because that one time they did have Toyon, but then in the 80s, the government came through and said, oh, you're not a tribe no more, also just like how they did to the Rancheria in the 50s.
Yeah.
And so now the Wintu people don't have federal recognition.
It's amazing, huh?
It is, and it's, you know, it's crazy because you would think every tribe has a right to be who they are. You know, originally this was our country. We still reside here. We know the sacred sites. We know all the names of the mountains, the rivers, the valleys, everything. We know all those names. It's not Redding. It's not Shasta County. We know the actual names.
What is the native name for Redding?
Nolte Puidol.
And that means?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but.
Every place here has its Native American name.
Like Mount Shasta is Bulliam Puyik. You know, and then the Pitt Rivers call it Aku. And so every tribe had their own language for, you know, all the mountains and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, about 6 years now we've been doing Indigenous People History Day. And
yeah, well, let me take a break because we're getting ready to talk about this and what's coming up here. So this portion of the show brought to you by Helm Helpers. Sharon Clark has had Helm Helpers for going on 17 years now. It is probably the premier agency to help people, to assist people in need. If your loved one needs some extra help at home, whether it's an hour a day, maybe a couple of days a week, or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it's Sharon Clark and Home Helpers. She has got just an amazing group of caregivers, all of them licensed by the state. All of them have had background checks, DMV screening, drug testing, everything. She wouldn't have anybody in your home that isn't welcome in her home. That's Sharon Clark and Home Helpers, and right now she's looking for some more caregivers. She's expanding her business. If you've ever thought about having a position where you can help somebody, whether it's full-time or part-time, give Sharon and Home Helpers a call at 226-8350 or learn more at readinghomehelpers.com. Remember, there's no place like home. We'll be right back with Jack Potter, chairman of the Reading Rancheria.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Court Shopping Center, Reading.
Recently, my very good friend, Reverge Anselmo, donated a very large amount of money to my campaign. In fact, history-making. Anselmo came to this county a few years ago with one thing in mind, to spare no expense and build the finest restaurant and winery. But after the county resource manager consistently harassed him, embarrassed him, and overregulated him to the point he left this county never to return. I can't do anything for Mr. Anselmo now, but I vow to stop this type of corruption from happening to others. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and yes, I'll spend every penny of that donation, paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 4.
Medicare open enrollment is October 15th through December 7th. Help keep your drug costs low by reviewing your plan for the following year. Remember, Medicare plans can change each year. PSA 2 Health Insurance Counseling Advocacy Program HICAP services are free and include individual counseling and assistance as well as community education services. PSA 2 HICAP services does not sell, endorse, or recommend any specific insurance product. PSA 2 HICAP is your trusted source for Medicare information. Call PSA 2 HICAP services for more information. 530 223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222. That's 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222.
This project was supported in part by grant number 90S APG 009-401-00 from the U.S. Administration for Community Living, Department of Health and Human Services, Washington, D.C. 20201. Grantees undertaking projects under government sponsorship are encouraged to express freely their findings and conclusions. Points of view or opinions do not, therefore, necessarily represent official Administration for Community Living Policy.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Court Shopping Center, Reading.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, Carl Mundabach. Phone lines here, 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, where I went yesterday and got trimmed. It's a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. They thoroughly sanitize the area before you get in there. Disposable drapes, you know, you wear your mask. It doesn't get any safer in there. The question, though, is that they're following all the rules, and other people don't follow the rules. So they've lost a percentage of their business because you can only take so many people in there. Now, to me, those barber chairs are more than 6 feet apart, that you should be able to have two customers in there at a time. It just stands to reason. However, the state government doesn't believe that. So, you know, anyway, it's a great place to get a haircut. It's Man's Last Stronghold. They work on appointments. Give them a call at 244-9478. I'm not going to intrude on Indigenous Peoples Day because we want to talk about that. But I saw your eyes. I saw Jack Potter's eyes, who's our guest chairman of the Rancheria, and I'm talking about the government, how they're handling this. He was ready. You were ready right there. I saw it. You know, you were getting ready to launch. But let's save that for the last segment. But yeah. Indigenous Peoples Day.
So, yeah, next Saturday, October 10th, beginning at 9 a.m. to 12, we will be having Indigenous Peoples History Day. We're doing a drive-through. Because of the government's little recommendations and everything, you can't gather and everything. So we're doing a drive-through where you'll receive a bag with some PPE in it, mask, hand sanitizer and everything. Also some documentation about why it's so important, you know, with these pandemics, how it affects Native country. Because in the past, we had germ warfare used against us and everything to annihilate our people. And so we have some history in there, what has happened to the people here in Shasta County. You know, and that's why, you know, I think we have fear, but the not really fear, it's we've been there.
You've been there.
We've been there. We lived it, and we understand it. And that was when our people didn't have immunities built up to these things and everything. So it wiped out our people, you know, in large numbers. And so,
and when we speak of biological warfare, there were instances from trade groups that provided blankets to the Native American tribes that people who had died of smallpox
Correct.
Had been wrapped in. So they just kind of like shared that with them. So, the fact is though that the history of the indigenous people. So this is a way that you can drive by, get your mask, get your hand sanitizer, but also some documentation, things to look at.
Yeah, and it'll be at 777 Cypress Avenue, you know, City Hall in the roundabout. You'll pull in. But we're also, to get people more involved and learn something about Shasta County Native history, we're doing kind of like a geocache where you can go to certain sites within the county and take a selfie and post it to Indigenous Shasta. And then we will go on there, and all those that participate, you'll get like a free book about the Wintus or Pitt Rivers and, you know, some of the tribal people. And so those locations is the Dersh Homestead Monument out at Bear Creek in Anderson. Geolocation is 40.486217-122.150867. The Indian Cemetery at the Hilton Garden Inn. So Redding Rancheria purchased that land. We own the Hilton Garden Inn. And, you know, we know our people existed here. And some cemeteries or burial locations aren't remembered or labeled. Whenever we've acquired land and bought it, because we have to buy land back just to, you know, be prosperous and move along in this modern day world, we find anything Native American, we fence it off, we respect it, we've changed plans many times. And so that's, you know, just something that Redding Rancheria does. We respect our past. And so that's another location. Go out to Shasta Dam and get a selfie. Go out to Shasta College, because there's a large village out there. Or go out to Toyon Indian Reservation in Shasta Lake City, take a selfie there, and Turtle Bay. And if you want to get that list, just go to Indigenous Shasta on Facebook. It'll have that list there, and it's under the heading Indigenous Peoples History Day Drive-Thru PPE Giveaway.
Okay, so you could go to these different places, take a selfie, and send it and put it on your Facebook page.
Post it on the Facebook, and then you'll get a prize.
That's, you know, that's pretty it's pretty painless, really.
Yeah, and it's good for the health.
It's good for the health. You had to cancel.
Yeah, we've been
powwow.
We've canceled the powwow. We canceled the big time this year. Now we're canceling this, and this is something fun because it don't only involve Redding Rancheria. It involves all the tribes of Shasta County. And, you know, due to the government creating, you know, all this separatism, this was one event that's starting to bring our people together as a nation, you know. And a lot of people may not have an understanding of, like, Wintu. You know, they hear Wintu or Wintun. Or, you know, Winnemem, or, you know, like Redding Rancheria is a separate tribe, or the Wintu tribe. At one time, we were all one people. we still are one people, but because we're the government never ratified those treaties, or when they created the Rancheria Act and then terminated and issued the deeds to whoever lived out there, and then others weren't recognized. But if you go back to traditional times, I compare the wind tune with the end sound. That's all the people. That means all of our people. And within wind tune, if you look at wind tune as the United States, mm-hmm. but at a tribal level, within wind tune, you had four states. Wind two, with the U sound, which goes from Cottonwood Creek all the way up to Mount Shasta, over into Trinity, and then up to the Big Bend in the Pitt River. Within wind two, you had nine counties or bands. Caldapalm, Elpalm, Donom, Dapalm, Winnemum, Numsu, Wamok, Elpalm, and Norilmuk. So if you looked at those as counties within the state of Wintu, within the nation of Wintun, then within those nine counties, you had your individual villages that had a headman or a mayor, you know, and they were led by that headman, and he took care of all the daily functions and everything. All the people all worked hand in hand, just like a city or a town. And so within, you know, one of those counties or bands, you know, was upwards of 200 villages. And then you go to the central Wintun, which are the Nomalakis, which is, you know, down where Rolling Hills is. Those are our southern cousins, and their territory began on the south side of Cottonwood Creek down to Toombs Creek and Glen County. And then they had 11 bands or counties. Then you go to your southeastern Patwins, that's Colusa area. They had nine bands. Then your southwestern Patwins, which is Yochadihi, or where Cache Creek Casino is.
Mm-hmm.
And they had 14 bands. So together, I think there was 47 counties or bands within the nation of Wintun. And so if you break it down like that, you have a better understanding.
And it went from the...
From Mount Shasta all the way down to Vallejo.
Wow.
The whole Sacramento Valley. So there was 47 bands within the Wintun Nation.
Okay. That is a lot of land there, but then again, you had a lot of people.
Yeah.
And a lot of different, as you said, counties and then cities within the Wintun Nation.
In traditional times, they say our count with the northern Wintu was over 20,000 people. That's just with the northern ones. And in 1906, there was 51 left from that 20,000.
Wow.
And now collectively, we probably have about maybe 1,400 people within, from Redding Rancherio, the Wintu Tribe of Northern California, the Norilmuk Wintu Nation, and the Winnemum Band of Wintu Indians. So we probably have about 1,400 people, which is still way less from our traditional numbers.
Yeah. Okay. We're here with Jack Potter. We're getting we were talking about it, Indigenous Peoples Remembrance Day.
History Day.
History Day. But then we just got a great history lesson about the Wintun Nation, which went from Mount Shasta all the way down to Vallejo with over 20,000 people in it, which has now been reduced to about 1,400 to 1,500 people.
Mm-hmm.
Since what, 1900? Did you say
19? Yeah, from...
From
Gold Rush
times. Gold Rush times, 1849 till now.
And so probably within the whole nation, there probably was about 100,000.
Okay.
The 20,000 was just the northern people.
Oh, just that was just a northern group.
The Shasta County.
Okay. Well, okay, we got to take a break here. We're going to be right back after these messages.
I'm on my way, and there's nowhere else that I'd rather be.
Get your morning update with us.
Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Career politicians in Sacramento are holding fancy fundraisers with rich donors and are too busy to pay attention to us. We deserve housing we can afford, quality education, health care, and jobs that support our families. I'm Pamela Swartz, and I'm running for state senate. I grew up in Reading. I'm your neighbor, not a politician. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, and I'll work for jobs and investment in our district, and not for big money donors.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for state senate. ID number 142-3306.
Vote safe, vote early. In Shasta County, all active registered voters will receive a ballot in the mail. Voters in Shasta County have multiple safe ways to cast a ballot by Election Day on November 3rd. How to return your ballot is your choice. Starting October 5th, you can vote early in person, by mail, or by Dropbox. Remember, it is your vote, your choice. For more information, call the Elections Department at 225-5730 or go to ShastaVotes.org for safe voting options.
Paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi. I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year, and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
Reading Rancheria. We are proud to play our part in the community. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Reading Rancheria. Since the Community Fund was established, over $3.5 million in grants have been awarded to our local nonprofit organizations. We are dedicated to supporting worthy causes in our region and help make possible the impactful work done by our local nonprofits and will continue to do so during these changing times. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 77 degrees out there, smoke, and it's going to go up to 104 today, and the AQI is?
161, well, which is unhealthy.
It's unhealthy, but it's better than I thought it was going to be.
No, I remember during the car fire, it was up in the hundreds,
like 400 or something. Yeah, so it's still unhealthy, though, my friends. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Veteran-owned business down in Anderson that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. Tomorrow, Bill Mastin is going to join us again, our retired fire captain, and had so much information about the Zog fire on Tuesday. He's going to be back to kind of give us a catch-up on what's happening with the Zog fire. Also, Congressman LaMalfa, Doug LaMalfa, is scheduled to be on tomorrow. However, I got an early warning that said that they're doing a lot of voting back in Congress now that he may be in and out. He's done that before. He's been voting, and then he has been able to make a call from the cloakroom or wherever they call it, the cloakroom. I picture the cloakroom about the size of the studio. But obviously it's a lot bigger than that.
But I have no idea. Maybe I'll ask him when he calls. We are here with Jack Potter, who's the chairman of the Redding Rancheria. And we've had a fascinating history lesson about the Wintun tribe, which covered from Mount Shasta, the land from Mount Shasta to Vallejo, and the northern portion of the tribe. If you think of Wintun as like the United States, and then within that nation, you had individual states and then counties and down to cities.
Mm-hmm.
You look at it like that, and just the northern region had over 20,000 people back in the 1840s and 50s.
Correct.
And is down. Now, if you add them all up, it comes to like 1,500.
Yeah. That's left in the northern area.
In the northern area. Indigenous Peoples Remembrance.
History Day.
History Day. I keep wanting to say Remembrance, but it's History Day. It's going to be on October 10th.
From 9 to 12.
9 to 12, and you can drive by the city center there where the city hall is and pick up bags with PPE. Material, literature, and if you go to the Facebook page, you can then find areas you can go to take selfies in.
Yeah, and get a prize.
Oh, and get a prize. Oh, okay. Well, you can't forget the prizes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and that's going to be on October 10th. How do you want to finish up today? We've got probably five
if they would like to be a part of the, the geocaching, just go to the Shasta Indigenous, look at that list, post those pictures. You have until October 10th, so if you're not doing nothing today, even though the air quality is bad, mask up, get out there, get your camera out, get those pictures done. The books are very interesting. It's the Wintus and their neighbors. There's some Leela Rhodes book from Pitt River, other books. And just remember, we all live in this community together. It's going to take each and every one of us to help each other out. These fires bring us together. We look beyond the color of our skin, race, creed, religion, whatever. And it shouldn't take fires or natural disasters to make us have each other's backs. We should love one another, the Creator, Jesus, Allah, God, whoever, has put down rules for each and every one of us to take care of one another. If you have something, give it to your neighbor. If you see them struggling, help them. We're all going to be in this together. The only way to get out of it is together. I love you all, and have a safe and wonderful day.
Well, that's a great way. I've got a couple more minutes left here, so we can chit-chat.
All right.
But that was a good way to end there. I almost feel like, okay, let's just play music for the next 3 minutes. Jack, what do you? There's so much thing, so much going on. I've never asked you this, but you are always on the move. Do you? There's the Native American community. When you all get together, I mean, I'm not just talking about the Wintun Nation, mm-hmm. but do you work with the other nations?
Yeah, we all do. Just like last week, we took down $20,000 to Maidu Country, to Moortown Rancheria, and to Berry Creek Rancheria. They have fire relief stations, and we gave each tribe $10,000. And those fire relief stations aren't just for the Native Americans. It's for everyone in that community. And so we took $20,000 down, to help out that area.
Berry Creek, by the way, was one of the places hit hard by fire.
Yes.
Berry Creek has been trying to log out 54 acres for years, and they have not been able to do it because of environmental setbacks year after year. And what happened? The fire burnt right through there.
Yep. That could have been managed.
And it could have been managed. That's right. And I, when you said Berry Creek, I remember reading that one specific thing. What about other Native American nations that are not in California? Is there an annual meeting or something like this that people get together and?
So like I sit on National Congress of American Indian, and so that's one of the oldest, largest representative committees of Native Americans. They have, I think, 342 tribes involved with them, and we meet three times a year, mm-hmm. and there's 12 regions. I represented the Pacific region, so I was a representative for all California tribes at that national level. And every February we meet in Washington, D.C. Then in June we would meet somewhere, you know, in other regions. And then in October right now we'd be having elections again.
Okay.
And you get appointed.
So there is a national meetings that happen. And, I mean, it's do you ever get, like, politicians coming there?
Yeah, we get all kinds of politicians coming, especially when we're in D.C. We get about 40, 50 politicians coming, meeting with the tribes, finding out what our needs are, our concerns. You know, Congressman LaMalfa, he's always there.
There's been a variety, I'm sure, of different ones. Anyway,
yeah.
Jack Potter, chairman of the Rainy Rancheria, thanks so much for being with us today.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Yeah, thanks for that history lesson, and especially what you said about we as a nation and a people need to get through this together.
Correct.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You bet. Okay, everybody, remember, it's good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
No, I won't. KCNR, Shasta, Redding.